Hey everyone, this is Adriana, producer of The Skill Set. I just wanted to let you know that a new episode of The Skill Set is live, and you can listen anywhere you download your podcast. This new episode is with Solomon Renfro, a talented sneaker designer at New Balance, who shares his unique journey from studying interior architecture to becoming a footwear visionary. You don't want to miss this conversation.
Welcome to the Imagine Place podcast. I'm your host, Doug Shapiro. And I'm searching for voices that can help inspire a more creative and courageous you. Today, we're hanging out with Tasha Singh, a design student from Drexel University who is on a mission to make the world a little more connected. So I met Tasha through the podcast, and when I learned about her thesis project, I was eager to get her on the show. In our chat today, she shares insights from her study of old Delhi's tight-knit neighborhoods and contrasts them with the more individualistic vibes that we experience here in the US. It's super interesting to hear how her journey from India to Philly has shaped her thoughts on design and community. Towards the end, there is a true epiphany moment for me that was inspired by her practice of yoga and what slowing down has taught her about the power of place. So stick around for that. Let's get started.
I have actually been working on my thesis, and I'm looking into designing for social connection. A long time back, I think in 2020, during the pandemic, I came across Erin's podcast, Shared Space, which looks into the built environment and loneliness. And I've been inspired by that ever since. And I kind of wanted to explore that in my thesis. And when I started looking into sort of social connection, I immediately, my mind went to India, because we're such a community-centric sort of world of its own that I thought that it would be really insightful and helpful to kind of study what it is in India that creates that strong sense of community and what insights I could bring into this sort of Western setting to combat loneliness.
Yes. And I want to explore that word community, because when you say that, I'm imagining the pictures that you shared with me, right? That created that sense. And it was this kind of inner dependability that was going on, where people needed each other. And then there was also this kind of openness where doors were open, and it was like people, you know, were less private in nature. And I think there's so much to that word that I'd love to explore with you. I also kind of want to know where you're coming from. So, you know, you grew up in India, moved, you're in Philadelphia now studying at Drexel.
Yeah.
So, how long were you in India, and then what parts of India specifically?
Okay, yeah. So I'm from New Delhi in India, and I spent my entire life there. I even did my undergraduate degree in interiors from India itself. And when I was doing my thesis project, I started looking into designing for a labor community in India, which is often overlooked and definitely not designed for. And that's when I started feeling like a sense of weight of the responsibility of being a designer. And I knew I wanted to study more. And that's why I'm here.
That's awesome. You know, I have to just ask, because I'm just imagining myself in your shoes. You know, you're leaving home. And
yeah.
I'm kind of a homebody. And that's tough. And I'm curious, are things the way you thought they would be? Are they different than what you thought they would be? What took you by surprise?
Yeah, that's a good question. But I think initially I found the transition pretty challenging and very hard. And the main thing that I kind of felt was that kind of shift from a very community-centric sort of life to a more like individualistic life and having to do everything on my own. So that was a big shift for me. And also like designing for all these different contexts that I'm not familiar with. And that for me was very intimidating. Mm. But I actually came across this one quote that kind of said, rooting yourself in who you are helps better shape what you want to become. And that kind of really struck a chord with me and resonated with me. And that's something that gave me the confidence to kind of know that I bring something unique to the table. And yeah, it's been a lot better since.
That is a great perspective. And I agree, like when you, and I see this just at a micro level, when someone joins OFS or Imagine a Place, someone joins our group and they, they've been outside of our world. So for instance, one of our producers, Aaron Estabrook, he was a music promoter for a long time, and he worked in a creative agency, totally different hustle, totally different vibe of organization.
Yeah.
When he came to our group, it was like he brought all these ideas and perspectives, and it was like, wow. And I think the same thing can happen in design, and it's almost like those are the things that could create those awesome moments, is when you really lean into the fact that you have this unique context that others don't.
Yeah, definitely. Like diversity and creativity, I feel like go very much like hand in hand. So yeah, I feel like that has given me a lot more confidence to kind of put myself out there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So let's stay on the subject because I'm curious about it. How about some advice for people maybe that would step into your shoes, whether you're leaving the US and going somewhere else or vice versa?
Yeah, definitely. I think the first thing I would say is don't be afraid to put yourself out there and reach out to people who inspire you. For example, I reached out to you and now I'm here. So definitely don't be afraid and don't hesitate. Some people will get back to you. Some people won't. Not to take that personally, but the ones that do kind of pursue that relationship and see where that goes. And I think a second thing that I think is really important and I'm kind of experiencing right now is we kind of go an extra mile or try to overcompensate a little bit for being that pocket of minority and tend to like neglect our mental health and our physical health sometimes, trying to pursue a job and, you know, carving a space for ourselves. So I think definitely to kind of prioritize that as well and keep working hard, but also take care of yourself.
I love that last bit. I mean, that's a lot of self-awareness coming out of you right there to say that. And I'm glad we connected. Thank you for reaching out. It is kind of funny how we got here. You recommended a guest and it snowballed into a bunch of other questions. And then I got to learn about your work. And I mean, I'm not the only one that thinks you're awesome, right? Aaron Peavy posted about you. You were Metropolis 2024, kind of one to look out for. So that was really cool. Cool honor.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I want to get into your work because I think that will generate a lot of questions and dialogue. I'm going to ask you to be pretty descriptive because some of the places that you took me in terms of what you showed me, it was really like really interesting, really enlightening to think about what you saw in those spaces and what you saw missing from the spaces that we surround ourselves with now. So just take us through how you got there and what you looked at.
Yeah, definitely. So I actually decided to do a place analysis study of this area in North India called Old Delhi. As I was talking about sort of the community-centric idea behind a lot of the neighborhoods in India, but I feel like a lot of that is being lost as it is being lost across the world. But this is this one space that kind of has held very true to that very tight-knit community. So I decided to study that when I went back home for a month. And visiting that space, I would go and observe it at different times of the day and kind of create a sketch or a sketch note at that time, like a snapshot, and kind of observe and see the different activities that were happening and how people were interacting and using this space. And I think one thing that was extremely interesting to me was how they used their modes of transport as these gathering spots. So somebody would come and kind of park their bike and that would become a space for gathering. Or a rickshaw, or a cart where they're bringing in goods. They empty that into the store, and then everyone's kind of sitting on that and gathering. And I just walked like a street away from this particular street, which is further into the community. And the other street was more commercial in nature, and they had these sort of stumps of seating for people that were separated. And there was such a difference in behavior. People were sitting on their phones. People were sitting alone. And it was really crazy to me, actually, to notice that extreme contrast from just one street away.
Wow.
So I think, yeah.
I mean, so take me into both streets. Like, how mm-hmm. would you capture the description of this space? So let's start with your first street, where there was, you know, there's more gatherings and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
How would you compare that to a place of similar kind of purpose in the US? And I guess the US is probably too broadly speaking, but let's just use Philadelphia because you're there.
Yeah. So I think in terms of comparison, the main kind of activity that was happening in this street in India was retail. And the retail kind of spilling out onto the streets. And there was a lot of porosity in terms of walking in and out of these shops. And I think you can compare that to kind of the restaurant culture in Philly and in the US in general, and how a lot of the seating is spilling out onto the streets, and that's an area of interaction. But I think the main thing I felt that was missing was the dynamic nature of gathering. So it seems like people do come here, sit, have a conversation with people they know. But within this sort of street in India, people are walking around and having these conversations at every like little stop and gathering and then dispersing. So that dynamic nature, I feel, is what I was intrigued by and interested in comparison to how it's happening in the US.
Yeah, that makes total sense. As you began to process these differences and what you were seeing, how is that impacting your choices now or how you think about design now?
Yeah, so I think the main thing that I'm interested in now is kind of treating interior design, not just within four walls, and more looking at space design around a human. So to that human scale, whether it's inside or outside, I consider it all kind of interiority. Hmm. And and blurring that sort of line between private and public, I think is so important to bring back that sense of community. So like I was talking about, like that sense of porosity between public and private, and you can have degrees of it for safety purposes, definitely. But I think there needs to be more of a blurred line there for community to come back.
Yeah, I love the word porosity. And I feel like if the place speaks to that porosity, does that begin to impact the way people behave and influence, you know, our desire for conversation and our desire to kind of interact and acknowledge other people? I think some of it is even just, you know, acknowledging each other. You know, how many times are we just not acknowledging others? And I wonder, you know, where is that coming from? Surely place has an impact.
Yeah, I think one thing is definitely place. But a second thing I would say is trust. The lack of trust is making us not want to kind of acknowledge each other. I was told when I came to Philly, like, do not look left or right when you're walking. Walk straight from home to studio and back, and don't interact with people on the street. So I think that kind of feeling of lack of safety, lack of trust is leading to this. But if our streets are sort of taken back into our hands and made into these more community-centric and more safer spaces, maybe that could lead to people feeling more open to kind of having, even saying hi to start with, and then maybe going into more conversation.
I think you're right. I think it's all about trust. You know, the way you described it, and I'm hearing the advice of your friends, right, telling you to keep your head down. And I'm thinking, well, that's actually pretty good advice, probably, depending on what street you're walking on. But then, you know, there is something to shaping the streets differently. And then people behave differently. There's different expectations. Trust comes back. And there is absolutely something there.
Yeah, definitely. And I also feel like when streets are very bare and very linear, you kind of have that one-track mind of just walking straight. But what if there were pockets of spaces or spaces that are, you know, being pushed and pulled within this linearity that allows for like pockets of gathering? So that's something I'm really interested in, and kind of having pause moments within that walk could possibly help with creating spaces for gathering and conversation.
Absolutely. I even think about just interiors and some of the places you might love the most in an old home are those awkward, interesting shapes and nooks that create something unexpected.
Yeah, definitely.
Here's kind of a big idea question, maybe a dreamy question.
Okay.
What do you hope to contribute most to the field of design?
At the end of it all, I think two things are really important to me. First thing is definitely designing for more social connection and bringing back that sense of community. And secondly, designing for people who are being forgotten, in a sense, or when you're given a certain project, thinking about who is least likely to use it and kind of bringing in a design element that could attract that demographic. I feel these two things is what I hope to contribute to.
Your move from India to Philadelphia, and I recognize that probably plays a role in the selection of these things, right? Social connection, designing for those that maybe have been forgotten, making sure voices are heard, people are acknowledged. Is there any part of you where that is rooted in something deeper? So for instance, if you didn't leave India, right? And you were in New Delhi and you were studying the same profession you're pursuing your master's, would those two things have changed? Or do you think those are rooted in something maybe even bigger in your childhood or your, you know, who you are?
Yeah. So I definitely think that it is rooted in who I am and where I come from. The first thing is my like extreme interest in streetscapes and creating a more safer environment is coming from the fact that I'm from Delhi, which is in the safest of cities, especially for women. And it's a space that is very male dominated and we don't feel like we belong. And that is an extreme case, but I feel like even coming to the other side of the world, it's definitely much lesser, but it still feels like we need to be aware of our surroundings at all times. So I think creating a safer space for women, especially in these public spaces, is rooted in the fact that I grew up in a certain space and had to always be protected and didn't feel that sense of freedom.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks.
Tasha, is there a question that you were hoping I would ask you?
Maybe one thing that I would like to talk about is wanting to balance work life and just life is something that I have learned is so important and brings such a perspective to your work as well. If you kind of get lost in your work and don't experience life experiences, you tend to become very bland in the way that you design. I feel like every experience that you have adds certain value to the way that you think. So even though life's gotten hectic, the design world is getting really fast-paced. As you're saying, we need to keep learning and stay on top of things. But yeah, don't forget to experience life as well.
Wow. I mean, I feel like it takes people 50 years to figure that out sometimes. That's awesome that you're there in your mind already. I hope you hang on to that. You know, I forget that sometimes. I think we all probably do. You know, you're having fun. Even if you're having fun at work, if you're still not and kind of enjoying the richness of all the things that we get to do outside of work, you end up only kind of pigeonholing yourself. Speaking of life and enjoying uh-huh. all the things outside of design, you mentioned mm-hmm. yoga, not on this podcast, but in previous discussions. Mm-hmm. So how does that feed into design for you?
I actually got certified to be a yoga teacher in 2019. And I had just gotten into design in a more serious sense then. And I used to practice in all different sorts of yoga studios. And I realized that when a space was designed well, my practice would go really well. I would feel comfortable. But if the space was not designed well, there was less light or there was less ventilation, I would feel very unsettled. And that would lead to a bad practice. Wow. And that made me realize that, okay, now that I've slowed down and I'm more aware of how my body is feeling, this is how my environment is affecting me. But we don't realize on a day-to-day basis, because we're so distracted and kind of out and about, we don't realize the effects that our environment has on us. So I think that sort of nuanced understanding from being slowed down to kind of experience the effects of space is something I try to bring into design with me. So I think that's what yoga did.
That is awesome. Seriously. That is an incredible kind of recognition that you went through. I've never heard that. And you're so right. Like, what an interesting observation that moment of slowing down allowed you to kind of understand your environment. The impact is happening whether you slow down or not. The recognition exactly. only happens when you do. Wow. that is really strong. And I had a recent conversation with David Polzine, who's the director of interiors for Canon. And he talked a little bit about this, but I think he was trying to get to what you were saying and he just didn't have all the words, but he was kind of saying, you know, I fear that we're not experiencing space because we're in our phones, we're always moving so quick. And he's like, I just wonder if what we're doing is, you know, if what we're doing as architects and designers is being absorbed. And it was interesting. It was a really curious thing to be, to be nervous about.
Definitely. And I think also when I think about designing for social connection, I also have this fear that, okay, I'm trying to do all these things to make people connect, but if people's heads are not coming out of their phone and they're not trying to experience the space, would it even have any impact?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, design is the force fighting against the darkness. Well, it was great to interview you, Tasha. You were fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
For more design stories, visit us at ofs.com/imagineaplace. From OFS, I'm Doug Shapiro. Thanks for listening.